I want to talk about the joy of the Lord at Christmas. You know, we have full swing holiday right now. Church activities, shopping, decorating, Christmas caroling, cooking, travel arrangements, parties. I mean, you know, that's just the tip of the iceberg of what's going on right now. And in fact, we were at a church Christmas crusade Christmas function last evening. How many of you have got, there's either with your kids or work or church, you got some kind of function to go, there's several functions to go to. That's besides everything else that's going on. Hey, and with all the holiday season activities, you know, it can become more stressful than it is joyful. You know, our task list seems to triple in size, and then all of a sudden we end up, everything's costing more than we had budgeted for, you know, and you got to get the house ready because relatives are coming, mother-in-law's coming, and you got to make sure everything's in place. Guests are coming, you know, fighting the crowds and shopping. But, you know, that's not quite as big a problem as it used to be because people can do it online. I know Miss Lynette, she's got to be a pretty good online shopper. But the truth is, a lot of times we create our own stress because we're trying to have a perfect Christmas. All the right food cooked and comes out all at the right time. The perfect present. Connecting with the right people and spending more money than we have. You know, then holidays can be difficult for some people because it's a reminder of different things, bad memory, loss of a loved one. It can also be a great time of loneliness and for people. In fact, that's one of the things that they train you in ministry is that the Christmas season is a season to look out for people that are going into depression because of loneliness. When I was associate pastor back 67 to 72 with my father-in-law, Baylor Hospital in Dallas, who's part of the Baylor, and of course that's all Baptist stuff, but they did a doctor minister symposium every 3 months. And the premise of it is we're both working with the same people. We're working on the medical side and you guys are on the spiritual side. So let's see how we can work together. And that was one of the things that they trained us in, how to look for certain things and people, certain things they said. In fact, some people here that may be in the medical field or the counseling field, you probably know about those things. But it is a difficult time. The holiday season sometimes demands more of us than there is to give out. And then also, it's easy to lose our focus during the Christmas holidays and forget what Christmas is all about in the first place. Christmas is about Jesus. And if you look at that first Christmas when Christ was born, the angels proclaimed the news of great joy. You know, I mean, you'll probably hear this read many, many times, but we'll go read it anyway in Luke 2. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were greatly afraid. Then the angel said, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. See, here they came. It said, the angel said, here, I bring you what? Good tidings of what? Great joy. Now, the first Christmas, let's think about it. The focus was on Jesus. Mary and Joseph, focus was on the child being born. The shepherds gathered around him because the angels told them that it was a joyful occasion. The wise men came and worshiped. Now, we can have great joy if we keep our focus on Jesus and not on all of the other things that are here. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. We live in a natural world, and there's natural things that we need to be involved with, family and gift giving and so forth. But we need to keep our focus on the reason for the season and remember that great joy comes when you look at Christ first. How many of you remember the joy that came into your heart when you were first saved, when you first received Jesus? It seemed like nothing else mattered, right? Well, we need to keep that same kind of joy all the time because he's there with us all the time. You know, sometimes the Christian journey has some difficult spots in it. But we never need to forget our joy of what it was like when we found Jesus. Don't let anything ever push that out of your mind. One of the ways that we can keep joy in spite of everything else at Christmas is to be grateful for what Jesus done for us. What'd he do? He took our place at Calvary. He become our substitute. He provided us salvation. He made available all of the promises of God to be activated in our lives. You know, he made you a brand new person. He made you the righteousness of God. The Bible says, you need to quote this every day. You're the born again. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. See, some people think that, in fact, I'm teaching redemption realities in Christ reality in school. And I really, that's my favorite subject to teach. But, you know, so many people think righteousness is some kind of the way you live and so forth and so on. No, righteousness is nothing more than right standing with God. And that's what Jesus Christ gave us. Amen. You know, he defeated the devil and obtained victory for us. We need to rejoice in that fact. One guy said this, rejoice that the immortal God is born so that mortal man may live in eternity. You know, we may not have a whole lot to rejoice about in the natural, but we've got a great reason to rejoice during this Christmas season. Jesus. Hello. Now, we need to rejoice at what the Word says. Now, you know, the Old Testament ends with what book does it end with? Hey, y'all know your books, okay. Now you just turn a page and you're on Matthew. Or maybe some Bibles, a couple pages. That page represents 400 years of silence from God. If you want, don't go study Israel's history, you'll find that out. They had 400 years, they had no inspired word from God. And now, an angel appears to a young girl and tells her she's going to be the son, bear the Son of God. You know, there was probably some great joy, and God spoke again. Maybe that's the reason Zechariah couldn't believe it, and when they told him that John, he's going to have a child in his old age, and that John would be the fourth, and he didn't believe it. So God, he couldn't speak until the baby was born. You know, you read that story in there. Maybe it's because there'd been that silence for that 400 years, and now all of a sudden God's speaking again. You know, Mary rejoiced in her heart. In Luke 1, 46, 47, and Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." That's when she went over to her cousin's house, who was bearing John, that would be the forerunner for Jesus, and that's what she said there. She didn't understand how it could be. It seemed impossible to her in the natural, but that's what God's speaking. See, we need to learn. The Bible is God speaking. We need to learn to believe it whether we can understand it in the natural or not. Actually, that'll help you to be keep joyful. You see here, the angel brought joyful news when it said good tidings to the men in the field that were watching. He said, "Do not be afraid. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to you shepherds, which will be to all people." Are you a people?
Amen.
Then it's to you.
Hallelujah.
Great joy.
Right. Amen.
You see, we need to realize sometimes that being joyful or sorrowful, it actually is a decision you make. Come on. Now the wise men rejoice because they saw the star. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Matthew 2:10. Now, Paul tells us to rejoice in the Lord. You know, you need to study when Paul said, "Rejoice in the Lord," and again I say rejoice. He was in prison. And he said rejoice. You see, his joy wasn't based on any natural circumstances. His joy was based on Jesus Christ. We can rejoice in Jesus. Because he changed us. He wants us to have an abundant, joyful life. We can rejoice because God has promised to be with us, those that of us that accepted Christ as our Savior. See? I preached it Sunday morning. Emmanuel, God with us. You might want to say it, Emmanuel, God with me. We can rejoice because God is with us 24/7, wherever we're at. Doesn't make any difference. At work, at school, at home, working on the car, riding the bike, playing ball. God is with us at all times. Be happy. Be rejoiceful. We can experience joy in knowing that we can pray in the name of Jesus. John 16:24. "Until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your" what? "Joy may be full." I'm talking about joy. Oh. Oh. I made a mistake, didn't I? Actually, I really need to take that. But I won't. that your joy may be full. See, stuff, y'all, that probably bothered y'all more than it did me. I just go right on doing what I do. I mean, but see, now y'all, now if it happens to you, you don't have to worry about it because it happened to the pastor right in the middle of his sermon. That your joy may be full. You know, it talks to us about having joy. Our joy is full because of Jesus. We have joy because of Jesus. I choose to rejoice because of Jesus and coming, dying, and going back to heaven to be my intercessor. I rejoice because of what Jesus has done for me and what he's going to do for me. I may not have an earthly reason to rejoice, but I got a heavenly reason to rejoice. And I'm going to rejoice in spite of it. Look, Habakkuk 3:17. That's a hard book to pronounce and harder yet to spell. Especially if you're like me, I'm not a good speller. When I was in school and they teach you to spell, they didn't teach any phonics. They just held a card up and you memorized it. So, you know, I don't know how to sound anything out. My wife will tell you that. Look at this. I'm going to read this from the NLT because it really says it where we can understand it. Even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vine, even though the olive crop fails and the field lies empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the field and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. We're talking about joy. You know, I mean, I think I saw a Christmas card. It may have come across my desk. And it just had in big words right on the front of it, joy. Anybody ever seen one of them Christmas cards like that? Huh? Yeah. Joy. But we just don't need to look at joy for this season. This joy needs to be with us all the time. You know. I want to encourage you, change your focus from all of the things that you got to do, all of the tasks in front of us, and there are many, and zero in on just having joy because of Jesus. I'm not going to let any, see, you hear people say it, but do they do it? I don't know. I'm not going to let anything steal my joy. It is easier said than done. Joy comes really in giving. To others. Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Here we see that Jesus, what he went through at the cross, it was joyful to him because he knew what he was giving to mankind. He was giving mankind a new chance. He was giving mankind that whosoever comes and receives salvation. There was great joy in heaven every time somebody is saved. You can read that in the Word. Jesus was able to endure those hardships because his focus was not on what was happening to him. His focus was on the joy that he was giving to mankind. He made it through the hard times on focusing on what he was giving to others. One of the best ways to experience joy is to give to somebody else. Not just at Christmas, all the time. Even sometimes giving anonymously, you know. Paul said it's more blessed to give than receive. Now you're all getting quiet on me. Because I'm talking about you giving somebody something. Oh, that's going to cost me money. Well, it might. It might just cost you a few words of encouragement. It might just cost you putting your arm around somebody and telling them, hey, I'm with you. I'm here for you. Come on now. That's giving. Serving can be a great joy. You know, this Christmas season, let's focus on other people rather than on ourselves. You know, too many times in the world we live in today, it's all of what I can get at. What do I get out of it? Not what can I give. Sometimes in church, the reason people don't, you ask them to volunteer, and the first thing they want to know what they're going to get out of it. No, you need to ask yourself, what can I give to bless somebody, help somebody else, and bless somebody else? You know, you can turn your sadness and your loneliness into joy if you just look around and see that there's some other people worse off than you are, and go and give them something, whether it's a word of encouragement, whether it's a helping hand, maybe a next door neighbor that's having a problem putting up his Christmas lights. He may be a little more mature than you, and he probably could go help him out. Come on. You know, there's many ways to have joy. You know, when we get our eyes up on what I'm going through and begin to look to help others in what they're going through, there's joy. Get our thoughts off of our situation and ourselves and on to helping somebody else. I think the greatest fulfillment and joy comes from giving to serve others, giving our time to help, giving our support to those who can't make it alone, giving resources to those who don't have, giving to those not expecting anything in return. See, some people give to get. Just give to be giving. You know, for years, Lynette has found people that going through loneliness at Christmas time, or that are don't have anywhere to go. And in fact, some of them have come to our Christmas dinner with our family so many times now that that we just look at them as part of our Christmas family. Why? Because they weren't even going. Some of the people that come now, they weren't even going to celebrate Christmas because of losing family and so forth and so on. We've invited people that have just gone through a divorce, and they're alone at Christmas to come to our house. We invited some people to our house last Christmas that they couldn't go and be with their family, and they were going to be by themselves, so we invited them to come to our house. Was it extra work? We had to cook a little more food. There was a few more dishes to clean up. Hello. And I she doesn't do it by herself. I get in there in that kitchen and I'm a great pots and pan man. I can scrub them pots and pans and keep it. I mean, she cooking and do you need this one no more? No, okay, so I wash it and clean it and get it ready, you know. Oh, and potato peeler. I got 5 grandsons and they all have to have mashed potatoes. We peel 10 pounds of potato, mashed potatoes for those 5 grandsons. So, hey, I learned something. Don't peel potatoes and a bunch of potatoes. Don't peel them at all. Don't put them down your garbage disposal. Any of you guys ever done that? And one time, me too. Whoa, man, I went to the store. There was only one store open. And she told me not to do it. I said, oh yeah, that's what a garbage disposal for. Man, we were stopped up. I went to the store and I went to the shelf and I bought everything that said anything about unstopping a drain. I mean, I had a whole bunch of stuff, but I got it unstopped. It took me a while. But I never put potato peelings down in the garbage disposal again. So, hey, if you're going to be alone at Christmas, find somebody else and y'all get together for Christmas. Look around and find somebody that's worse off than you are and, you know, bring them. You know, you can get rid of your sadness and loneliness by giving to somebody else. Reach out. You know, I don't know whether this has helped anybody or not tonight, but I just wanted to just sort of remind you that, hey, joy is something that you yourself control. It starts with a decision to be a part of something more than yourself. Be joyful. It is the season of joy. The angel said so when Christ was born. Heavenly Father, I just talked to these people for a few minutes tonight to try to encourage them that they can make a decision not to be lonely, but to be joyful and happy at Christmas and all the rest of the time of the year. I pray, Father, that each individual would have taken some part of what I said tonight and make it into their life and put it to use so that they will be joyful. I thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Now, I've talked about this at Christmas time, but listen. These are things that you can do year round to keep joy in your life. All right. Jesus gave, God gave, we need to give. Okay. Everybody stand. Did you get anything out of this tonight? Good, good, good. Hey, listen, how many of you enjoyed, Rami last Wednesday night? I sent him his offering and he emailed us back. It was $4,700 and $4,765, I think. $4,765. And he wrote me, he said, that is the largest offering I ever received speaking anywhere, anytime. And he said, I want you to tell the church I am grateful. My wife and I are grateful. It will help us to be able to continue to do what we do. in Israel. So he wanted y'all all to know that he was so thankful for that. He said in all of his speaking, it's the largest offering he's ever gotten. So he just wanted y'all to know that. And y'all made the pastor proud. I mean, thank you. That, you know, hey, we make each other look good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hey, if you happen not to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, well, I want you to get in on this joy I've been talking about. You can have a joy that nobody understands if you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you happen to be here and you know what it is to have that joy, but you don't have it anymore because you're not just where you need to be with God, I want you to come down here and pray with these people and leave here with that joy again. If you need prayer for any reason whatsoever about anything, come to the front as we're dismissed and they'll pray with you and you won't leave here like you came. Connection people, go find our first time guests. Take them to get that special gift. Hey, remember the announcements. We need people for the collection. And hey, tell people about Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday morning for the musical. Hey, you can get people to come to a musical where the gospel's presented and then never come to hear a preacher preach. Amen. Hey, if you happen to be out here on Friday night walking through the park with the lights, hey, tell people. Say, hey, look, there's a musical going on over in auditorium at 7:30. I mean, come on. All right. How many of you going to get involved with us? All right. Hey, turn around, shake hands with somebody and say, I choose to have joy. I don't know about you. We'll see you Sunday morning right here at 10 o'clock. Come believing, come expecting. If you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, come to the front right now. Come to the front right now if you need prayer for any reason whatsoever. God bless.